Please stand for our greeting. Return to the Lord, the God of all mercies, for a feast of love has been prepared for his own. Lord, at all times, his praise shall be continually in my mouth. O taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Happy are they who take refuge in God. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. Please be seated. Let us enter into a moment of silent reflection, a time of self-examination before we pray. Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. I repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. Through his Holy Spirit, he cleanses us and gives us power to proclaim the mighty deeds of God who called us out of darkness into the splendor of his light. Amen. On Ash Wednesday, and many of you were here, you began this season of repentance with confession, and many of you came forward to receive the ashes in a sign of repentance and a recognition of our mortality. I invite you, as a completely optional part of this service, to come forward now to receive your absolution, the assurance of forgiveness which comes from Christ our Lord. Those who desire may come to the altar to receive individual assurance of forgiveness, either kneeling or standing. And I'll be assisted by John Redfern. We will lay hands upon your shoulders or head, depending on whether you've just had your hair done, and say to you, in the name of Jesus Christ, your sins are forgiven. When all who have completed and have come forward who desire to, we will join in a prayer together as found in your bulletin and move on with the service as we move toward communion. John? Let us pray. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment, to love one another as he had loved them. By your Holy Spirit, write this commandment in our hearts through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Well, to share with you from Psalm 103, from a translation that may sound a little different, but let us hear afresh Psalm 103, verses 8 through 18. The Lord is merciful, he is kind and patient, and his love never fails. The Lord won't always be angry and point out our sins. He doesn't punish us as our sins deserve. How great is God's love for all who worship him, and greater than the distance between heaven and earth. How far has the Lord taken our sins from us? Farther than the distance from east to west. Just as parents are kind to their children, the Lord is kind to all who worship him because he knows we are made of dust. We humans are like grass or wildflowers that quickly bloom, but a scorching wind blows and they quickly wither to be forgotten forever. The Lord is always kind to those who worship him, and he keeps his promises to their descendants who faithfully obey him. And from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 26. Well, the Apostle Paul writes, I have already told you what the Lord Jesus did on the night he was betrayed, and it came from the Lord himself. He took some bread in his hands. Then, after he had given thanks, he broke it and said, This is my body, which is given for you. Eat this and remember me. After the meal, Jesus took a cup of wine in his hands and said, This is my blood, and with it God makes his new covenant with you. Drink this and remember me. The Lord meant that when you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you tell about his death until he comes again. A very short message tonight. You do remember the story from the Gospel of John just before Passover, where Jesus, stripped down to a towel around his waist as a servant, as the lowliest of servants, and he washed his disciples' feet. And at the end of that ordeal, and there was some resistance, Peter did not want his feet to be washed, but finally he gave in. He said, This is a sign that I've done to you, for you to do to one another. And a new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you. Now that Passover meal took on new meaning that night in the upper room. Jesus took bread and broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you, and do this in remembrance of me. And as you have heard, he took the cup with wine and drank from it and said, Drink ye all of this, for this is my blood which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. In Passover, which was the Jewish festival that night, there was the blood of the Lamb saving from death in Egypt, and in Jesus, the blood of the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world. Forgiveness is our salvation. Judgment, sin, and death is what we are saved from. Remember another story, the four friends who made a hole in the roof and dropped Jesus inside. And what did Jesus do first for the lame man? He forgave his sins, if you remember. Who is it that can forgive sins except God alone? He also healed him. But who is it who can forgive sins and give us a new beginning except God alone? And remember the forgiveness that Jesus gave to the woman caught in the very act of adultery when he said, Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. In other words, you are forgiven. Now begin a new life. And you remember Zacchaeus, the tax collector who cheated, then met Jesus who treated him like a person of worth. Like he wasn't unclean by entering his home and eating with him. And Zacchaeus repented of his sin and paid back four times all that he had stolen. Absolved of guilt, he began a new life. And remember Peter who betrayed him after saying that he never would? After bragging so loudly how brave he was, Jesus forgave Peter and gave him his spirit and the power to forgive others in his name, saying, Feed my sheep. You are forgiven. Now forgive others in your new, brand new life. And remember Thomas, who doubted. Then he got the proof that he needed and proclaimed with new faith and understanding who it was who could forgive sins and overcome death. He said, "My Lord and my God." And remember the man born blind who saw and worshiped Jesus. I hope you see the trend. Absolution, complete forgiveness, new life, new eyes, new vision, new direction to follow after God, to continue Jesus' ministry. We are all either the prodigal son or the stay-at-home son of that parable too. We are constantly mistaking ourselves as either too sinful to come into God's presence or too good to need God's grace. Always, Jesus paints God as the one who waits with open arms to embrace, to cleanse, to put on the ring and the robe and say, "Son and daughter, all that I have is yours for the asking. Come to me. Whomsoever will come to me, I will forgive, absolve, and embrace, and give a new life. Just come. Just come." And you have the opportunity to come now, if you'll turn to page 12 in your hymnal.
Gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, make them be for us the body. Thank you. God. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me? So far from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, and am not silent. Yet you are enthroned as the Holy One. You are the praise of Israel. In you our fathers put their trust. They trusted you, and you delivered them. They cried to you and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not a man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They hurl insults, shaking their heads. He trusts in the Lord. Let the Lord rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. Yet you brought me out of the womb. You made me trust in you even at my mother's breast. From birth I was cast upon you. And from my mother's womb you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near and there is no one to help. Many bulls surround me, strong bulls of Bashan encircle me. Roaring lions tearing their prey open their mouths wide against me. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It has melted away within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue sticks to the roof of my mouth. You lay me in the dust of death. Dogs have surrounded me. A band of evil men have encircled me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. People stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them and cast lots for my clothing. But you, O Lord, be not far off. O my strength, come quickly to help me. Deliver my life from the sword, my precious life from the power of the dogs. Rescue me from the mouth of the lions. Save me from the horns of the wild oxen. I will declare your name to my brothers in the congregation. I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or disdained the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. For those who fear you will I fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. They who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. All the ends of the earth will remember and turn to the Lord, and all the families of the nations will bow down before him. For dominion belongs to the Lord, and he rules over the nations. All the rich of the earth will feast and worship. All who go down to the dust will kneel before him, those who cannot keep themselves alive. Posterity will serve him. Future generations will be told about the Lord. They will proclaim his righteousness to a people yet unborn. For he has done it.